The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. School is now in session. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Mark Durkin.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Well, good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I'm your headmaster and host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's a privilege to join you every Saturday evening here on AM 1280 The Patriot. And, of course, I'm joined in studio once again by our wonderful producer of Education Nation and my co-host, Mark Durkin.
Good evening again, Rebecca.
Good evening to you. We are quickly approaching the beginning of the school year.
Yes, time is flying.
Yes, sure. It is. It is. And that's quite appropriate for us to be talking about as we are once again and having our final opportunity to speak with Rebecca Friedrichs in our studio about some of the things that are really concerning that are happening in the California public schools and moving into other states as well. So she tells us that teachers unions working with powerful far left groups are pushing a radical sexual agenda onto our kids and to penalize teachers, parents, and students who dare to speak out against it. Rebecca Friedrichs is a 28-year public school teacher in California who led the fight against the divisive tactics, politics, and corruption of teachers' unions as lead plaintiff in the 2016 Friedrichs versus the California Teachers Association Supreme Court case.
And her case paved the way for a precedent-setting ruling just 2 years later, which freed all public sector employees from forced unionism. Rebecca's been a guest on Education in the past, and she's been with us also the last 2 weeks, and she joins us in studio for our final week of discussion on how teachers are being used by very powerful organizations to fund these far, hard-left abortion sex ed policies and the traumatizing effects that they're having on teachers and students and parents in California. Rebecca, thank you for joining us again here on Ed Nation.
I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Rebecca, the California Teachers Association and the NEA have taken over California schools by gaining control over the local and state level governments after getting their activists on local school boards, is what we have heard from you. The teachers have also been used to phone bank and to do campaigning. Are California teachers aware that they're being used to push an agenda?
No. Most California teachers and most teachers across the country are not aware they're being used to push an agenda. They're bothered by all the politics, but the way the unions manipulate, they get the teachers worried that they're going to lose their job or the kids are going to get hurt or whatever the union, whatever lie they tell us, and then they get teachers out campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
They want to address what you talked about with the way they the unions are controlling school boards.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of loving people who run for school board. Mm-hmm. The more loving you are, the more you are focused on the kids, the more the unions are going to bully you. And I could tell you, I have all kinds of stories in my book, Standing Up to Goliath, that show people who actually win a school board race and then get chased off by the unions. But I want to tell this one story. There was this man that I know who served as a school board member in Orange County, California, at a local school district. And when he won, the union leader came up to him and said, "Oh, well, hey, congratulations. You know, can we count on your vote?" And he goes, "Well, what are you talking about? Well, can the union count on your vote, the teachers?" And he goes, "I'm here for the children. It's a school board." And the man goes, well, maybe you don't understand. Do you have aspirations to be on the assembly or in the Senate or up to Congress? We can help you get there."
Oh, my goodness.
And this guy, who's a good Christian man, a man of integrity, said, "You're barking up the wrong tree. I'm here for the children." And the response was, "Well, we have the other four votes." And so this guy experienced throughout his years and years on the school board, 4-1 votes, 4-1 votes, because those other four had been bought by the teachers' unions. So they're either bought or they're bullied into doing what the unions want. I've talked to loving school board members who want to do what's right, but who are too terrified to do so.
Very concerning.
You know, in addition to teachers, school boards across California also find themselves stuck between a rock and a hard place. In addition to fielding protests from parents and school boards, are also threatened by the ACLU. We touched on this a little bit last week, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, how exactly, if we can maybe give a little more detail, how these school boards are personally threatened, and are these threats the main reason why parent protests go unanswered by the school boards in California?
Yes, they are the main reason. And I have had school board members at multiple different school districts in California tell me the exact same thing. And that is that they have received letters that are personal threats from the ACLU, that they are going to, that they threaten that they will sue them if they don't enforce the law. They always go back to enforcing the law. So with the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and the teachers' unions and SPLC and all their bully buddies have done is they come together and they write these deceitful laws and they plant little things in these laws. And someone like myself will read it and we see red flags. Other people will read it, maybe even an assembly member voting on the law might read it and think, oh, this is fine. But then once you understand the meaning of these different words that they buzzwords they drop in there or whatever, now they get these laws passed and now they use them to bully. So these board members are telling me we have these 6 curriculums in California, and the curriculums are what are really the big giant problem. If you looked at the law, you'd say, okay, we could fix this, this, and this, but the curriculums are a nightmare. But the ACLU is forcing those 6 curriculums. And so when school districts try, parents say, hey, we're not okay with this. We want to rewrite a new curriculum. I have friends who have served on curriculum writing committees to rewrite the sex ed. And then in the summertime, their work is rewritten by activists, supposedly teachers, activist teachers. And then the district comes back with another version that's offensive again. So it's just, it's this very powerful conglomeration of groups. And it's very hard to fight because they're so well organized and they have so much money. But we have to keep fighting because David won, right? David took out Goliath. Well, actually, God did.
You know, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, and you had mentioned it in regards to some of the curriculum, but I want to touch base again for our listeners who may not have tuned in 2 weeks ago. But one of the many egregious components of this sex ed law requires teachers to tell children as early as age 12 that they have the right to go get an abortion without their parents' knowledge or permission. Does this include California schools helping children secure an abortion doctor and even help them fund the abortion?
Yes. So we have been told in California schools that exactly what you said, we have to teach the children this. We have to teach them the location of the clinics. There is now a push by the teachers' unions for every single child's student ID card to have the Planned Parenthood phone number on there so that they can quickly get access.
We're just going to expect these kids to have sex. So,
well, that's the whole basis of comprehensive sexuality education. Yeah, they believe all these kids are going to have sex anyway.
Yeah.
So we don't teach them self-control. We don't teach them, let their parents teach them the values that the parents choose. We're going to just teach them all how to avoid pregnancy. And that's what is troubling to me. It's all about avoiding pregnancy. It's all about go out and have fun, go out and sleep around, just as long as you avoid
nothing
pregnancy.
Nothing about the emotional well-being or the STDs or,
oh, no,
know.
They cover the STDs, which they've changed to STIs.
Oh, that's right. You
but
mentioned that.
They cover that, but it's really more of a guise because when you're teaching kids to use condoms for anal sex, they're going to end up with HIV. It's like 40% failure rate with anal sex. So it's just very, very troubling. And yes, we are required to help them get to the clinic and access the care. It's, you know, they're getting whatever Medi-Cal, or, you know, but their parents have no idea.
For kids as young as 12.
12. And I have heard that even children younger, the law states 12. age 12.
Mm. I don't think that's a coincidence. I mean, I don't know if they work together, but you know, we talked about the teletetanesia for age 11. So you're getting all this mm-hmm. information in that discussion, and then, well, right at 12 years of age, you know,
yep.
you can start taking.
You're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Can you imagine if your child came home and their stomach was hurting and you had no idea why?
Yeah.
And
what if your child died on the abortion
right,
table
right.
along with the baby?
Yeah. You just had no idea.
Yeah. And not only that, I know a lot of people who had abortions, and all of them are carrying a deep-rooted shame unless they've yeah. really gone through years and years of therapy mm-hmm. or, you know, some kind of redemption recovery. A lot of them have, you know, eating disorders. A lot of them have sexual addiction. This is serious. These people are out of control. They're damaging our children and our culture, and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. They need to be held to account
Absolutely.
For this.
Yeah. Rebecca, the teachers' unions colluding with Planned Parenthood is happening not just in California, but across the country. Would you share with our listeners the fierce opposition that was shown in Ohio to Christian school teacher Judy Bruns and her friends when she courageously represented and spoke up for the voices of pro-life teachers?
Yeah, well, Judy Bruns and her friends are the most brave teachers I know. They have been going as teacher representatives to the National Education Association Representative Assembly, their annual meeting, for decades, and fighting for children, for childhood innocence. And they just want balance. They just keep asking for balance in the sex ed. Mm-hmm. One of these teachers is an ex-gay, and she went up in front of the assembly and just... She didn't want to share her personal life story, but she did to protect kids. She said, what about the ex-gay kids? Because the teachers' unions and their friends bully you if you're an ex-gay, because being ex-gay is against their whole agenda.
Philosophy.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
because you're born gay mm-hmm. and you can't change. And so she's saying, I'm not gay anymore. I mean, you know, and they would not let her. She told me that after she shared that, she could tell some people, other teachers, were supportive of her quietly, but she was never electable again. Hmm. See, no voice. So Judy Bruns went in front of the National Education Association in 1998, and she asked them three questions because they have been lying to teachers for decades, telling us that they do not support abortion. But in their resolutions document, it says they believe in reproductive freedom, and they say it in all these roundabout ways, and they don't use the word abortion, right? Because they don't want teachers to know the truth. So she went up 1998 and she said, per the words reproductive freedom in a resolutions document, does the NEA support? And she asked them, you know, abortion in the first trimester, abortion this. And her last question was, does the NEA support abortion up to birth, commonly referred in the media as partial birth abortion? Does the NEA support that? And NEA leadership came back with, yes, we support it, and we have no restrictions on abortion. Hmm. That was 1998, but they've been lying to teachers that they don't support abortion. Teachers, they not only support it, they push it, they believe in it all the way up to birth, and they're using your dues money not only to fund it and to work together with Planned Parenthood, but to push this agenda not only in our culture, but across the world.
Mm.
It's troubling.
Yeah. And parents are finally able to view what is in the health education framework in the curriculums, and they're beginning to see the urgent need to rescue the kids. Before we talk about how parents are fighting back and whether they've been successful, I'd like you to really quickly, once again, review for our listeners what is that education framework in California. And you mentioned, I think off air, that it was passed almost exclusively down party lines in mm-hmm. California. Can you just briefly talk about that?
Sure. Well, the health, first of all, there's two different things we're talking about here. So AB 329, the law, the California Healthy Youth Act, became law January 1st, 2016.
Okay.
The health framework that goes along with the law and, you know, shows teachers you can use this, you know, this book or, you know, these materials mm-hmm. and you need to teach this, that, and the other thing. That was all just passed this year.
Okay.
Earlier this year, 2019. Mm-hmm. So it was passed 100% by Democrats. The law, AB 329, was passed by all Democrats and one Republican. And what people need to know is the Democrat Party really, the teachers' unions control the Democrat Party. Those of us who've been in the teachers' union for years and have served and tried to make a difference from the inside, we've noticed that the teachers' union, we believe, is writing the talking points for the very far left of the Democrat Party, because we hear all the messaging.
The same messaging.
Like 2 years ahead of time. We've already heard that messaging, and then it comes out in the news. All of a sudden, some Democrats talking about it. And you know how they're talking about moratorium. That's their big word right now. Well, we heard about that years ago. So it's the teachers' unions are literally in control of the Democrat Party.
And they do that with all the money that they fund. And we've done a show with Kim Crockett, where even here in the state of Minnesota, the vast majority of money from the unions goes, that's going to support a political candidate will support a Democratic candidate, hands down, over a Republican candidate. So you can see where that connection ends up happening, that Democrats end up being dependent on that money, and therefore they need to toe the line.
Well, that's it. And that's why you see these all these presidential candidates on the Democrat side. That's why they're getting further and further to the far left, because they have to please the teachers' unions. So people think, oh, the teachers' unions are caving to all this agenda. No, the teachers' unions are pushing the agenda.
They're driving it.
And Democrat candidates are caving to it and becoming more and more left. So you asked about what parents are doing to push back. I mentioned earlier the rallies, the letters, and all of that. But amazingly, even though we have, I mean, thousands of parents pushing back, even though we did all of that, our state passed the health offensive health framework unanimously. They are completely ignoring parents, all voters. You know, anyone who sees this framework is horrified, and they're just ignoring it. They could care less about us because they're controlled by money. So I tell people, people that get all hopeless, vote your values. Quit voting for these people. And teachers, quit giving the union money. Set aside your worries about getting bullied and other stuff. Stand together and do what's right. Stand on principle. Stand. Do what God asks you to do. Not
and there's powers. There's power in numbers. And so even just, you know, talking with your other teachers that you know are like-minded and maybe doing it together, you know, that can give you some strength and feel a little bit more secure in your decision.
Exactly.
You know, the new guidance in California's public and charter schools is the first in the nation to require that students be taught lessons on transgender topics starting in pre-K and kindergarten. Parents can opt their children out of sex lessons on sexual health, but they cannot take their children out of class when lessons are being taught about gender fluidity and same-sex marriage. Why can't parents opt their children out of these lessons?
Well, because teachers' unions and their whole group of friends, ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center and Gelson, are pushing the LGBTQ agenda, and they use this gender fluidity and all this as an anti-bullying campaign. So under the guise of not bullying LGBTQ children, they are now bullying every parent, teacher, and student in America's schools by pushing an agenda on all of us. And it and look, hey, I've been a teacher for a long time. If it was truly about anti-bullying of LGBTQ, here's how the lesson would go. Boys and girls, we need to be kind to everyone. We're kind to all human beings. Everyone's created equal. We're going to love everybody. And if somebody teased a child for being homosexual or whatever, we'd be on that in a heartbeat. We're going to be loving to this child. It doesn't matter this person's sexual orientation. This is a human being we love. That is not what that they claim that's what they're doing, but that's not the lessons. The lessons are how to use a dental dam for oral to anal sex. The lessons are using anatomically correct, fully erect adult male penis models to learn how to use a condom.
My goodness.
It's indoctrination. It's when you see something enough, suddenly it's not so shocking to you anymore, and you're going to accept it. That's what they're doing to our kids.
Well, last week we discussed the difficult position teachers find themselves in, with many wanting to opt out of parts of the sex ed curriculum, yet are on the receiving end of some false presumptions from parents. instead of obviously blaming teachers for the sex ed curriculum that's being taught at their children's schools, what can they do as parents to help teachers?
I'm so glad you asked this. I started a campaign called Adopt a Teacher. And folks can go to our website for kidsandcountry.org, and the first menu item is Adopt a Teacher. And there's a flyer you can read in 3 minutes to learn how to help teachers. Teachers are trapped between a rock and a hard place. Good, loving teachers do not want to teach this. They're horrified by it. They don't need parents screaming at them. They need parents holding legislators, school boards accountable, and teachers' unions accountable. Mm-hmm. Teachers' unions are the root cause of this horrific problem. And teachers don't know it, so they get blamed because they're the ones paying the unions. Parents don't know we've been forced to pay these unions for 50 years. So the Adopt a Teacher program, parents, it has 6 parts. You embrace the teachers you love. You educate them on their new right to no longer pay unions. They just won that right last year, but they don't know it. You enlighten them by giving them a copy of the book I wrote, Standing Up to Goliath. It has 3 full chapters exposing the sex ed and that the teachers' unions are behind it. And it has chapters exposing all kinds of other problems that teachers have no idea their unions are behind, like the problems, all the discipline problems in mm-hmm. our schools nowadays. So then you empathize with the teacher. We're so sorry that you've just now discovered you've been funding the demise of your own profession and the abuse of little kids. Encourage them and then empower them to get out of those unions, to stand together, to decertify them. So all of that is on our website for kidsandcountry.org. All the instructions in my book, Standing Up to Goliath. It's easy. All you got to do is adopt them, put your arm around them, stand with them, and educate them. Mm-hmm. And if we did that just with Christian teachers, mm-hmm. just with Christian teachers, we could end this nightmare.
Yeah. Wow. Do you have any idea how, I mean, that's a question I've never even thought of, is how many Christian teachers do we have nationwide that are in the public schools? Has that ever been figured out? Has that ever been a number?
I don't know that anyone's ever done that survey, but I can mm-hmm. tell you from my own personal experience, because I have had thousands of teachers reach out to me across the country because of the case we brought to the United sure. States Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. First of all, in my personal experience, and I worked in a school district in Northern Orange County, California, we had 42 languages on my campus. We had children coming from all over the world, very well-balanced mix of people. In my district, I would guess just from my interactions with teachers, about 75% of them were Christians.
Really?
Wow. And we had a couple Muslims. We had a couple from the Jewish faith, but people of faith. Mm-hmm. And the teachers I know around the country, they always laugh. They go, who else would be crazy enough to take on this job? It's a hard job. And the little kids need so much attention and love, and loving people of faith do this job. So, but what's interesting is the National Education Association had a survey asking how many teachers are conservative or what they call liberal, what I call leftist, because liberal is not this crazy stuff they're mm-hmm. doing, you know? Mm-hmm. Liberal is being liberated. Mm-hmm. But anyway, are they left or right, teachers? Mm-hmm. And this survey showed 3 separate times they did this survey. The last time, I think, was 2005 or 2006. They found that over 55% of teachers in the union lean right.
Really? And that is very surprising to me. Yeah. Because I would think that they would kind of give in to some of this mindset because it's permeating their lives day in and day out.
They do, because the old surveys, it was 60% leaned right. But so they have changed it a little bit. Yeah. But here's the shocking number. Only 13% identified as far left. 13%. Mm. But almost 100% of teacher union money goes to the far left.
Yeah. Interesting.
There's something wrong with that. Teachers unions aren't supporting Democrats who are in the middle, who are reasonable, who would agree with us on a whole lot of things. We'd all get together and do what's right for our country and right for the kids. No. They're pushing this hard left agenda mm-hmm. with teacher money. So teachers, we have way more power than we think. Quit paying these people. We fought hard to win you that right. Mm-hmm. Look, I gave up my career. I've been bullied. I've lost so many friends over this because they're too afraid to talk to me, for people I taught with, because, you know, it's too dangerous to talk to me. Hmm. If I could take that hit, if I can leave my career, if I can lose, you know, pension, all kinds of stuff, if I can do that, you can opt out of the union together. You can stand together. And I've, you know, built this organization for Kids in Country. We're here to help you. So come on, teachers, let's do it. Teachers can heal America. We can do it.
Hmm. I love your passion.
Yes. And, you know, this is really a good conclusion here as well, too. But we want to talk about some of the organizations. You know, as teachers are considering opting out, share with us some of the information regarding these organizations and the superior services that they will provide to teachers that are without the union overreaches.
This is so important. I think we touched on it in one of our other interviews, but teachers and others, please listen, take notes, tell teachers this. So teachers have been told for 50 years by the union, you need us. You need our liability insurance because everyone's going to sue you. Parents are going to sue you. You're always going to get sued. So teachers are terrified, and we live in a litigious culture. Mm-hmm. They have reason to be scared. Okay, here's the problem, teachers. The union's liability insurance will only cover you if you are sued. Mm-hmm. If there is a job action against you, if someone complains about you and now you're under investigation or your administrator's harassing you, something like that, but it's not sued, quote unquote sued, the union will not protect you. They will not defend you. I have a teacher friend who lost her job in 3 days. She had paid the union faithfully for 26 years. There was a job action against her. She wasn't even guilty, but there was no fair trial, nothing. She lost her job in 3 days. She went to the union. She said, where's my $1 million coverage? They said, oh, you're not being sued. It's a job action. If you want to pay us $100,000, we'll defend you. This is going to be hard to defend. She lost her job. Mm. Then her credential was attacked. We saved her credential, but she was attacked. So teachers need to understand there is an organization out there called Christian Educators Association International, CEAI. CEAI can provide you with the liability insurance that is double the coverage. Instead of $1 million, it's $2 million. And they have job action coverage. Mm. So they will cover you if you're harassed. They will actually send a lawyer to help you, or someone will get with you on the phone and defend you. You actually get help from there. There's a second organization, CEAI, you have to be a Christian to join. Mm-hmm. There's a second organization for those who are Christian or not, AAE, Association of American Educators. Okay. Both of those organizations are great. And teachers, we can stand on our own, local only, and with this kind of coverage. And it's, you know, a couple hundred dollars a year.
And can they get health coverage through those organizations as well?
Their health coverage comes through their employer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm glad
really
you asked, because a lot of teachers think that's from the union. It's from their employer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have about 30 seconds left. Tell us again a little bit about your book, Standing Up to Goliath.
Oh, thank you. So it's called Standing Up to Goliath, Battling State and National Teachers Unions for the Heart and Soul of Our Kids and Country. It's a compilation of the personal testimonies of about 50 different people, mostly teachers, parents, and kids. And we expose the teachers' unions as the root cause of every single problem in our schools. They're behind the sex ed and so many problems. And we also give people hope on how they can stand together and stand up against this. And I hope that your listeners will get a copy of my book for every teacher they know and love. That would be so helpful. Standing Up to Goliath.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very wonderful. Rebecca, you have been so informative these last three shows.
Thank you so much.
Yes. As Mark said, it's hard to even respond to some of what you're telling us because it's just so shocking. It's hard to even wrap our heads around.
Yeah.
So I thank you for exposing this and taking the hit for so many so that others can hear about what's happening.
Yeah,
and we'd encourage our listeners to listen to this podcast and other previous podcasts at ednationmn.org. You can also check us out on Facebook at Education Nation Radio. Thanks for joining us and have a good night.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most